Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up today, Pope Benedict sends a message of greeting to U.S. Catholics ahead of his pastoral trip to the United States. Pope Benedict also pays tribute to those who died for their Christian faith over the last century, and we hear about a special art exhibit focusing on the Pope and on the Church in America. Benedict XVI has sent his special greetings in a video message to the people of the United States. The 5.5-minute video, produced by Vatican Television, was released at a Vatican press conference Tuesday, where journalists were given details about the itinerary of the Pope's upcoming pilgrimage to the United States, April 15th to the 21st. Let's listen to what the Holy Father had to say.
Dear brothers and sisters in the United States of America, the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. In just a few days from now, I shall begin my apostolic visit to your beloved country. Before setting off, I would like to offer you a heartfelt greeting and an invitation to prayer. As you know, I shall only be able to visit two cities, Washington and New York. The intention behind my visit, though, is to reach out spiritually to all Catholics in the United States. At the same time, I earnestly hope that my presence among you will be seen as a fraternal gesture towards every ecclesial community and a sign of friendship for members of other religious traditions and all men and women of goodwill. The risen Lord entrusted the apostles and the Church with his gospel of love and peace, and his intention in doing so was that the message should be passed on to all peoples. At this point, I should like to add some words of thanks, because I am conscious that many people have been working hard for a long time, both in church circles and in the public services, to prepare for my journey. I'm especially grateful to all who have been praying for the success of the visit, since prayer is the most important element of all. Dear friends, I say this because I am convinced that without the power of prayer, without that intimate union with the Lord, our human endeavors would achieve very little. Indeed, this is what our faith teaches us. It is God who saves us. He saves the world and all of history. He is the shepherd of his people. I am coming, sent by Jesus Christ, to bring you his word of life. Together with your bishops, I have chosen as the theme of my journey three simple but essential words: Christ, our hope. Following in the footsteps of my venerable predecessors, Paul VI and John Paul II, I shall come to the United States of America as Pope for the first time to proclaim this great truth: Jesus Christ is hope for men and women of every language, race, culture, and social condition. Yes, Christ is the face of God present among us. Through him, our lives reach fullness, and together, both as individuals and peoples, we can become a family united by fraternal love, according to the eternal plan of God the Father. I know how deeply rooted his gospel message is in your country. I am coming to share it with you in a series of celebrations and gatherings. I shall also bring the message of Christian hope to the Great Assembly of the United Nations, to the representatives of all the peoples of the world. Indeed, the world has greater need of hope than ever, hope for peace, for justice, and freedom. But this hope can never be fulfilled without obedience to the law of God, which Christ brought to fulfillment in the commandment to love one another. Do to others as you would have them to do you, and avoid doing what you would not want them to do. This golden rule is given in the Bible, but it is valid for all people, including non-believers. It is a law written on the human heart. On this we can all agree, so that when we come to address other matters, we can do so in a positive and constructive manner for the entire human community. Ti richo un cordial saluto a los cattolicos de lengua española.
I now give a cordial greeting to Spanish-speaking Catholics, to whom I express my spiritual closeness, particularly to the young, the sick, the elderly, and those going through difficulties or having special needs. I express to them my desire to be with them in their country. In the meantime, I ask them to pray that my upcoming apostolic voyage bears pastoral fruit and to keep the flame of their hope in the risen Christ burning brightly.
E a mantenere in alto la llama della speranza in Cristo risuscitato. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends in the United States, I'm very much looking forward to being with you. I want you to know that even if my itinerary is short, with just a few engagements, my heart is closed to all you, especially to the sick, the weak, and the lonely. I thank you once again for a prayerful support of my mission. I reach out to every one of you with affection, and I invoke upon you the maternal protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Che la Virgen Maria les accompagne e proteja. Che Dios les bendiga. May God bless you all.
Though he was looking ahead there to his upcoming visit to the United States, Pope Benedict on Monday was closer to home here in the Vatican. Monday evening, in fact, Pope Benedict was just a few blocks down the riverside on Rome's Tiber Island, where he celebrated the Liturgy of the Word to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Sant'Egidio community. The Catholic lay community has become a worldwide organization that has successfully helped broker peace accords in many war-torn nations and provides revolutionary treatment and effective care for HIV and AIDS patients in Africa. Well, as Emer McCarthy reports, in his words to the Sant'Egidio community on Monday, the Holy Father recalled the sacrifice of the Church's modern-day martyrs, those who gave their lives for the faith over the last century.
The dawn of the 21st century has been marked by martyrdom. May the work of the Sant'Egidio community be guided by the example of the modern-day martyrs in courageously reaching out to the men and women throughout the world to spread the gospel of peace. This was Pope Benedict XVI's message to the members of the community founded in the tumultuous aftermath of the 1968 social upheaval by Andrea Riccardi. The Holy Father's words were delivered before six altars commemorating the Christian martyrs of the 19th and 20th centuries custodied within St. Bartholomew's Basilica on Tiber Island.
So I think it's a place where we can experience the ecumenism of martyrs.
Mario Marazziti, spokesman for the community, says the ecumenical dimension of the Basilica, which honours Christians of all denominations who have given their life for Christ, is of particular resonance.
Monsignor Arnulfo Romero, or we can meet the Milanesian martyrs, Anglicans, or we can meet the pastor Paul Schneider, that was, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the real martyrs of the Nazi camps, and so on.
Perché hanno continuato a servire la Chiesa nonostante gravi minacce e intimidazioni?
In this homily, Pope Benedict pointed out that still today, when Christians really are the yeast, light, and salt of the land, they become objects of persecution. He added that the love, faith, fraternal coexistence, and dedication to the weak and poor, all of which underscore the Christian community's way of life, often provoke violent aversion. Before leaving the tiny island, Pope Benedict uncovered a plaque commemorating his visit to the Basilica to mark the 40th anniversary of the community. He thanked them for their tireless witness of the gospel, defining the hundreds of lay men and women who make up the community as true friends of God and authentic friends of all humanity. I'm Emer McCarthy.
When he was here in Rome for meetings with Pope Benedict and Italian authorities last June, U.S. President George Bush asked specifically to meet the Sant'Egidio community. The U.S. president described Sant'Egidio as one of the great faith-based organizations in the world and said he wanted to explore how the U.S. government and Sant'Egidio could further their common commitment to help the poor, feed the hungry, and help eradicate disease. Well, Pope Benedict will no doubt be raising these same issues with President Bush when the two meet at the White House April 16th, and when he speaks to diplomats at the United Nations April 18th. And while the Pope's invitation to speak at the UN is one of the main reasons for his trip to the U.S., he is, of course, going too to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the foundation of the first four American Catholic dioceses, and the Archdiocese of Baltimore, Maryland. I asked Monsignor James Reinert what makes this papal visit to the U.S. important.
A visit by the Pope is significant any time, and so it happens that it's happening now in April of 2008. There are so many things going on around. Of course, he was invited by the Secretary General to come to address the United Nations, and then as part of that, he was invited by the American bishops, especially Cardinal Egan and the Conference of Catholic Bishops in the United States, to invite him to come and visit and pay a pastoral visit to the American Catholics, to the Church in the United States.
There are a lot of challenges facing the U.S. Church today. There was the sex abuse issue. There's a changing face, in a sense, of who American Catholics are today with immigration and so on. What do you think that they want to hear the Pope tell them? What sort of message are they looking for?
I think that under my own wish would be a message of encouragement. A message of keep up the good work for the American people, for the church. I think that this is going to be a true pastoral visit. He's not going to come with an agenda of correcting. He's not going to come to set out some new program. He's going to come and speak to the church as its spiritual father, as the shepherd, as a bishop would speak to his diocesan flock. That the Pope is going to bring that sort of a message that here we are the Church, we are the body of Christ on earth. Let's continue to grow and support one another in our faith.
Monsignor James Reinert there is an American official with the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. Well, as the spiritual father and shepherd of the world's Catholics, Pope Benedict will be celebrating Mass at Washington, D.C.'s National Stadium next Thursday, April 17th, where U.S. Catholics will be able to hear his message loud and clear. And among his other Washington appointments, Vespers with U.S. bishops and a discourse at Catholic University. Well, one of the events on the Pope's agenda in the U.S. Capitol will be a meeting with other faith leaders at the John Paul II Cultural Center. And to greet him there will be a huge 13-foot painting of himself. Pope Benedict, in fact, is the central figure in the painting commissioned by the new National Museum of Catholic Art and History in Harlem, New York. It has been transferred down to Washington, especially for the Pope's visit. It will be on view at the John Paul II Cultural Center to May 31st, when it will return home to Harlem.
I just wanted to put it into images, just this incredible presence that the Pope has.
Alfredo, or Fred Villanueva, is the artist who painted the big canvas. He's called it the Holy Theologians, and pictures Pope Benedict surrounded by the figures of saints and doctors of the church. He spoke to me from the museum's Harlem headquarters last month.
First of all, we see Jose Maria Escrivá from Spain, and then we see St. Augustine of Hippo after Botticelli, and then we see St. Catherine of Siena, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Bonaventura, St. Irenaeus, St. Gregory, Albertus Magnus, and then Bridget of Sweden.
And if I'm not mistaken, Pope Benedict is pretty much right there in the middle of all of these saints. How does he relate to all these figures?
We know that he's a theologian and he's written much, especially Jesus of Nazareth and the Apostles, two of his books. So we actually read through the books, and he cites a lot of his thinking, and he refers back to these saints. So we regard them that they're all doctors of the church and theologians and writers, that they're influential to his thinking.
But what really makes this painting and this museum so unique is the neighborhood they're located in. Curator of the Catholic Museum, Maria Velia Savino, explains.
We have a lot of Hispanic people here, an Italian background and African-American background, you know, everybody here. Harlem is a very colorful neighborhood.
Harlem has long been known for its poverty and high levels of crime, but thanks to tougher policing and increased city development funds in recent years, parts of the neighborhood are undergoing a long overdue renaissance. Still, census data show Harlem continues overall to top the charts of New York's health emergencies, and poverty remains a deep scar in many areas. So when Christina Cox was given the opportunity to move her small Manhattan-based Catholic museum to an abandoned Catholic school in Spanish East Harlem, she jumped at the chance to help revitalize the area and bring a fresh new look to the neighborhood's Catholic identity. And now, soon after opening to the public, she and the staff are ready to welcome the Pope to New York, and maybe even to Harlem if he has the chance.
In his honor, we have prepared beautiful artworks, and especially to teach the children about what the Pope is trying to say in his teachings of his new books, The Apostles and Jesus of Nazareth.
How did this project actually come together, and why did you choose one of the most underprivileged areas of New York for this museum?
Well, actually, in 1995, Pope John Paul II had been in New York, and we were then in Olympic Towers next to St. Patrick's, and went from there to Rockefeller Center while we were renting space. We were still looking for a home. And Father Raffrano, who was a Palatine priest and the pastor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Shrine, which basically was erected in 1884 by Pope Leo XIII, did a papal bull bringing all the Italians up from Little Italy to this area. And Father Raffrano was a mentor to me and said, I have this broken down old Catholic school that would make a great museum. And I said, well, Father, I don't know anything about East Harlem and the neighborhood, and I didn't know anything about the shrine and all the miracles and the pilgrimages that have come up here every July 16th for Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So we started to work together. You know, I left that area in Rockefeller Center because space was very expensive, and we began a renovation of $15 million we raised over the last 10 years or so, maybe more, to renovate this old Catholic school with state-of-the-art lighting. And the large galleries, schools make great museums, you know, because they have the big classrooms and so forth. So we have four floors now and a museum shop, and we're going to be opening up a cafe. And we had St. Lucie's of the from the Bronx came. And afterwards, the children wrote us letters of what they want to see in the museum. And one of their favorite paintings, of course, is this beautiful painting that Fred did of the Pope, because it is so large, it takes up an entire wall. And the children want to get to know him. They want to know about him. and are looking forward to his visit, of course.
Having this museum in the area of Harlem, does that present any unique challenges to you? I mean, it is one of the most underprivileged areas on the East Coast.
Well, all the, you know, whether it's Princess Diana, Mother Teresa, Prince Charles, they all come to Harlem to visit the children here. It did present its challenges, but Harlem is changing now because when we came up here, anyone who developed between 96th Street and 125th Street was entitled to grants. We got a large grant from the Upper Manhattan Empowerment Zone where Harlem was being redeveloped. We've gotten a state grant from Governor Pataki in the past. So we were able to write, and you know, for funding and so forth. But Harlem is changing now. And one block away, this summer, opens up Home Depot, Best Buy, and Costco. In fact, Home Depot sponsored our St. Nicholas exhibit for Christmas, where they built an entire Christmas village where we talk about, you know, the Bishop St. Nicholas and how he became Santa Claus. And we get lots of letters from the children about that. It's one of their, especially the little ones, they like that gallery. And then we have a history gallery that starts off with Christopher Columbus bringing Christianity to America, and it goes into the Declaration of Independence, where we talk about Charles Carroll, who is one of the signatures of the Declaration of Independence, and we go into the Irish history of John F. Kennedy's, and we have a beautiful painting of Bishop Sheen, who was up for canonization for a sainthood.
Bishop Sheen is just one of the Catholic heroes kids from East Harlem learn about when they visit the museum. A few of them got on the phone with me to tell me what they liked best and what they had learned about the Pope. It wasn't quite what I was expecting.
My name is Miriam. I'm 13 years old, and I go to Isaac Newton Middle School.
Did you learn anything about Pope Benedict on your visit to the museum?
Yes, that he likes cats and that he likes to write books.
How do you know he likes cats?
Because in one of the pictures, there's a cat under his desk. And I heard that when he walks down the street, that stray cats like to follow him.
What else did you learn about Pope Benedict?
I learned that he really always remembers all the saints. In the picture, he's praying. And in the picture, there's a picture of Mary holding baby Jesus. My favorite part was that they showed a lot of details in the painting and that they help us understand what the painting means.
My name is Tony. I'm 13 years old, and I go to Isaac Newton Middle School. I like the paintings and how we learn about the theologian, about where we got our names from.
Did you see anything or learn anything about Pope Benedict that you didn't know before?
Yes, that he liked cats, and whenever he goes outside, that the stray cats follow him.
Well, the cat's out of the bag. Pope Benedict's fancy for felines has endeared him to kids as far away as New York City.
There is a cat in this painting. I also was fascinated with it. You know, it's sort of a St. Francis thing. It's a love and appreciation for animals as well and everything in God's creation. But there is a cat. He is modeled after a sketch by Leonardo da Vinci. The cat also in, I think, medieval times was a revered animal in Italy because it helped ward off the plague, Black Plague. So it's symbolic, I think, for us. But we also know he's a cat lover, and it's very humanizing. I think we could also personalize it as a painting for him as well.
Well, it seems the museum offers a personalized experience for kids of all ages.
Austin, I'm 8 years old, and I go to Mount Carmel Holy Rosary School. I learned about Pope and what the Pope to come visit us. My favorite part was the paintings of the Pope.
My name is Stephen, and I see us like from Jesus, the church people, the angels and stuff.
Did I hear you say your name is Stephen?
Uh-huh.
How old are you?
Stephen, 7 and a half.
And where do you go to school, Stephen?
River East Elementary School.
Would you like to bring your family back to this museum?
Uh-huh.
What did you like best about it?
I like best when they play their stuff.
Judging from a wide-ranging display of angels, saints, and the Holy Family on hand, Stephen and Austin certainly get their share of praying and stuff. Maria Velha told me most of the stuff Steflin was talking about has come to the museum through benefactors, loans, and donations, including a 17th century Dutch masterpiece by Anthony van Dyck.
Also, we have a Spanish masterwork crucifixion. Actually, that was a donation from a Jesuit father that passed away right now. And we have an Epiphany. So we have our own collection of masterworks, and we're starting now to collect contemporary art, because we feel that one of our missions is also to inspire contemporary artists to paint spiritual subjects and religious subjects. We have Latin Americans, Italians, Irish. We are very international in this way. But also we look for quality. So, for example, we have the paintings from Henry Bermudez. He represented Venezuela in the Venice Biennale in 1985. So we have none from Botero. We have emerging artists. We have a Colombian young artist called Alexis Duque, and he paints very social paintings, and at the same time they are connected with religion, and he paints the stories of barrios. And so we want to merge these classical masterworks with contemporary art, and all with the telling of the Holy Scriptures. It's kind of educative at the same time.
Again, it just goes back to the teaching of the children, moral values of what being a Catholic means, and what the Pope is trying to say also in his books is we need to have faith, we need to come back to receiving communion and the ways of the Church. And though we're not trying to evangelize, we are just doing what the Church did long ago. Before people could read, there were paintings, and the paintings told the story of the Bible. And what better way to make someone notice Jesus is to do it through art.
A tremendous satisfaction, because I think first because children really want to learn and they get very impressed about things. And then we feel that when they are seeing so many things in the television that they better they don't see, and suddenly they come here and they are like nourished. And, we feel that we're doing something very good. Even though we are a Catholic museum and our statement and mission is Catholic, we welcome people from other religions to visit our museum, and I think they learn. They're learning things, and also they see us with a different eye after the visit.
Well, our painter Fred Villanueva is certain that visitors to the museum will experience something right out of Pope Benedict's encyclical Spe Salvi, Saved by Hope.
It's kind of a beacon of light and of hope for capturing young minds and inspiring a virtuous way of life.
I'm Tracy McClure, with thanks there to artist Fred Villanueva and Maria Velha Savino and Christina Cox of the Catholic Art and History Museum. And, of course, the kids from East Harlem for contributing to this program. And Fred Villanueva's painting of Pope Benedict and the Holy Theologians will be on view at the John Paul II Cultural Center in Washington, D.C. until May 31st. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.